Recently, those among the MAGA community have taken to calling Jesus and what he taught in his Sermon on the Mount to be weak and woke. Now, the way that God's Word is being attacked, combined with the call to dismiss the Bible in its entirety, is that the Bible is sexist. Those who make that claim stand on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, which read, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church." Now, that's actually not God or Jesus saying that. It's Paul who's declaring that based on the Old Testament belief that the wife shall submit to her husband. It's a small look at a small piece of a large portrait. Makes me think of a friend who's a devout feminist and totally despises the Jackie Gleason show, The Honeymooners. She says it shows Alice in a subservient role, and that completely ignores how in pretty much every episode, Alice winds up being the one who's right, and Ralph is the one who's wrong. Let's look at the full portrait the Bible paints about women, starting with, or I think the obvious, God could have easily sent his son to earth as a full-grown man to teach and do what he did for our salvation. What did God do instead? Right, he sent Jesus into the world through a woman's womb. Reading here from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women.' But then she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Now, that's not exactly a Fox News alert, since throughout the Old Testament there were prophecies about how this was destined to be. When Jesus rose from the tomb, who was told of that first? The apostles? No. The answer is found in Luke chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." Mentioned before how Paul said that women should be silent in the church, yet in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, he recognizes women for the work they had done in the church. "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Jesus certainly honored women. One of those times is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, which is part of the story known as the widow's mite. "Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant, penny. So he," meaning Jesus, "he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly,'" and when Jesus says the word assuredly, you are listening, "'assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury.'" We have examples to learn from in the Old Testament about how women are empowered by God. When you have a brief moment, since it's a short book, only three chapters, read the book of Ruth. It tells how God called on widows to accomplish his plans and also teaches about the rewards God has for those who honor him. In Psalm chapter 68, verse 11, guess who was assigned to give the news about when God scatters his enemies? Right. "The Lord gives the word, the women who announce the word are a great host." Which you can easily connect with Mary and the women finding that Jesus had escaped the tomb, was resurrected, and told the apostles. That act was certainly something that caused God's enemy Satan to scatter, if only for a moment. One final example of how women are empowered in God's word. How do we find wisdom referred to as being? I have a hint for you. Wisdom's pronoun isn't he. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. "Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you." Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. Okay, you get the idea. My prayer is that the idea of looking at things with a narrow view so they fit your want or desire goes away, and we all seek full knowledge and wisdom. Speaking of which, how many times do you think the word narrow appears in the Bible? Depending on your translation, about a dozen times. It's used to demonstrate the faith and devotion that's needed to be blessed with an eternity in heaven. Jesus put the word narrow to use with, I think, one of his most valuable lessons that we find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who will go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.